supply of wagons for the midwives and physicians. Where shall they be placed?
5,000 cubits, one.
Don't you work, then? I'll pay you back every lash you gave me, Nathan.
For us to have hard feelings.
I felt your whip.
Yes, every day.
Lily is no slave, Damon. You can carry your own cart. Let her ride.
So now, my brother, we are new taskmasters.
We serve no masters now.
Yes, but not for long.
Oh, ho, ho. Here, old woman.
That's it.
Josh!
Be afraid for the gun!
You know who I am.
I know who you were, Lord Governor.
I go to stay at the Pharaoh. Tell Ramses I'm coming back to my house. That rabble may follow Moses into the desert today. But when their eyes are seared red by the sun, when their cracked lips bleed with thirst, when their stomachs cramp with hunger, they will curse the name of Moses and his God. And I, Dathan, will lead them back to Pharaoh. To the brick pits.
So many.
How shall I find thy road through the wilderness, Lord? How shall I find water in the desert for this multitude?
Moses, the people are assembled.
Then let us go forth to the mountain of God, that he may write his commandments in our minds and upon our hearts forever.
We march, praising his mighty name.
What is the word, Joshua?
The word is given. Let the trumpet sound.
Remember this day when the strong hand of the Lord leads you out of bondage.
Do you hear that?
You have a strong new son.
with joy and gladness. He bore them out of Egypt as an eagle bears its young upon its wing.
Good to be told. You know, every time I watch that scene, I'm just absolutely amazed. Because like I said, reading it in the book, you can't imagine what's involved in taking 2.8 million people, women, children, everybody, and taking them out, first of all, breaking the back of the greatest army that man has ever seen, and Yahweh walking these people out to the promised land. And I think it's kind of neat, like I said, in just a little over a week, we will be there. You'll see exactly where they camped, the road they came out of, where the Red Sea was parted. But you know, it's interesting because a lot of times you're so close to something, you can't see the forest from the trees, like the expression says. And do you realize that there's a scripture in the Bible that says there'll be an exodus that's going to happen that will make us forget that? The greatest thing that Yahweh ever did. The parting of the sea. And there's an exodus coming that will make us forget that. And I want to talk about that today because the greatest exodus is yet to come. Because I watch that and I'm amazed to say, boy, I know things can be great, but something that can actually make us forget? And we didn't even watch the parting of the Red Sea. How amazing. You know, in the time we're living in, Satan he's robbed us in so many different ways. He's robbed us in time. He's robbed us of joy. But in the chaotic times we're living in, he's really robbed us of focus. You know, a focus that we are living in one of the most amazing times in the history of man. I mean, to think from 605 BC, you know, when Judah goes into captivity, 721 Ephraim and the northern tribes go into captivity into Assyria, and then Judah goes into captivity, 605, and the nation of Israel is no more. It's no more. Even in the days of Yeshua, they were a Roman colony. It was not the land of Israel. It was a Roman colony in those days. 70 AD, the Romans come, and then that's the end of it. And for 2,000 years, people were reading the scriptures that I'm going to read you today. And they said, that's spiritual. That's talking about the church. And they were lying. They were lying. I'm going to read you these scriptures of the time we're living in. Because you know something? You know why you can believe it? Because half of it has already happened. Israel's a nation again. I mean, people still deny it. People still try to hate Israel. People still try to say it has nothing to do with our father. 2,530 years to the day that they went to captivity, it was prophesied and they're back in this land. May 14, 1948. Tell me, where are the Amalekites? Where are the Philistines? Where are all these different people? Where are the Jebusites? You know where they are? They're in history books. That's the only place they're in. They're in history books. But just like we saw, Yahweh has already taken our brother Judah. He has already taken him from the four corners of the earth through a horrific Holocaust. 6 million lives that died. And they are living in this land again, the homeland of Israel. Hebrew, a dead language, not spoken for thousands of years, only used in the synagogues. And even in the synagogues, they only memorized prayers. Most of them, the rabbis, didn't know Hebrew. And today you can go out here and Hebrew is being spoken on the streets. It's like, do you realize the times we're living in? Do you realize how blessed we are to see the hand of Yahweh at work? To see Him redeeming His people? To see the doors that are opening? To see all these things? You know, even here in Israel. I mean, He brings them back and all the Arabs around them. I mean, only because it's prophesied could it be that way. And it says it exactly like that, that their neighbors were going to come against them. You know, there's a joke that I heard one time that people said, Yahweh says He's not a respecter of person. You know, and He honors the the people of the nations as well as the Jewish person. They say, that's right, he loves everybody, everybody's equal. Well, if everybody's equal, then why does the Jewish people have the land with milk and honey? Why do they have the best fruits? Why do they have the best of everything? And Yahweh says, yeah, but wait till you see the neighbors I give them. So it equals out in the end, you know? And only in prophecy, only if somebody's writing a novel do things happen like this, that you come back to your homeland after 2,500... Whoops. I'm Italian. I tend to talk with my hands at times. So you come back to your homeland after 2,520 years, and you have neighbors all around you that want to destroy you, that want to take your land back. But I'm telling you, we are living in the most exciting times in the history of man because we've seen our brother Judah come back. And we are getting ready to see what the Bible calls the greatest exodus that mankind will ever see. Let's go to Luke 10, Luke the 10th chapter. In verse 21, Luke 10 and verse 21. It says, in the same hour, Yeshua rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Master of heaven and earth, that you did these things from the wise, you hid these things from the wise and prudent, and revealed them to children. Yes, Father, because so it was pleasing before you. All things were delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And who is the Father except the Son? And he to whom the Son may desire to reveal him. And having turned to the disciples alone, he said, blessed are the eyes seeing what you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear. You ever think to yourself, Abraham, right? Abraham's the father of everybody. It all started with Abraham, the father of the faithful. Beersheba, the well of the oath, the well of the seven. That's where it started. And do you know Abraham can't name these 12 tribes of Israel? He wasn't alive. Abraham had Isaac, and then Isaac had Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and Jacob had the 12 sons of Israel. Abraham was already dead. Do you realize that King David, the greatest king that ever lived, the king that will reign with Yeshua right from here, never had the liberty of reading one prophet? The prophet started it. King David was here in the year 1000. The prophet started around 740 to 800 BC, 200 years after he was dead. David never read Isaiah. David never read Jeremiah. David never read Ezekiel. And like he says, kings and prophets, they would have died to see what we see, and they didn't. And here we are. We're at the very end. What more do we need to do, to see, to have faith? What more do we need? Yahweh has performed his word in every single thing he said to this point. Every last thing, he's performed it. Why would we doubt for a second that these next amount of years before Yeshua's return, that he's not going to fulfill everything from there? Why would we doubt it for a second? He's proven to us we are the last generation. He told us in Psalm 102 exactly what to look for the last generation. Yeshua said, watch the fig tree. The Bible tells us exactly that Israel is the fig tree. Psalm 102 clearly tells us. It outlines the Holocaust completely and then says that Jerusalem will be built up and Israel will be a homeland right after the Holocaust. And then it says the Messiah will return in that generation. Clearly tells us it, plainly in Psalm 102. Why do we doubt? Why would we doubt when we've seen every other last thing happen? Zechariah 12:7, you don't have to go there, but it says, Yahweh also shall save the tents of Judah first, so the glory of the house of David and the glory of those living in Jerusalem may not be magnified above Judah. That's why Judah came to the land first. Only for the sake of David. That Judah would be magnified above his brothers. And Judah's here. Judah's already living here. So is it an analogy? You know, is it an analogy that Israel is a nation again? That's ridiculous. Only in the days of Solomon did Israel ever have a strong army. All the other kings, read it. They made alliances with Syria. They made alliances with Egypt. They made alliances with Babylon or whatever. Only during Solomon and David did they have a strong army. Yet in the book of Zechariah, it tells us in the end time that the leaders of Judah will be like a hearth of fire. And here they are, this tiny little nation that only started 60 years ago, is the fourth most powerful military in the world. You've heard me speak about it before. I've given whole messages on the nation of Israel in the end time. You can't deny it. You can't deny it. All you have to do is believe it. That's all you have to do. We are coming toward that time. We have turned the corner. And I am going to prove to you today that not only is the regathering real, the regathering has started. The regathering has started. The time of the fulfillment of the tribes of Ephraim in their captivity is over, and we are in the infantry stage of that. I don't know how long it'll take. I'm not a prophet. I'm not telling you. But I'm telling you, the seeds have been planted. There's people already in this land. There's already people that he's bringing back. And we'll go into a little bit of that later. Isaiah 11. Let's start going into some scriptures on the regathering. Because to most people in the world today, when you say the word Israelite, people think that every single, all Israelites are only Jewish people. You know, although every Jewish person is an Israelite, not every Israelite is a Jew. Like I said, there's 12 tribes. We have them here. Asher, Levi, Manasseh, Ephraim, 13 if you count the two sons of Joseph, Dan, Naphtali, you know, and so on and so on and so on. So there's 13 children, 12 children, and like I said, Joseph, who was double blessing, actually has two portions. We already know that Judah is back in the land, but look what he says in Isaiah 11, verse 1. And it shall be in that day, like I said, whenever you see in that day or in that time and at that day, it's a Jewish idiom meaning end time. So this is not something that happened before, but it's something for our time. It says, the root of Jesse stands as a banner for his people. What does that mean? You see the banners around the room? Because just like what we saw in this movie, when Joshua said to the people, set the tribal standards and banner. Every tribe had a banner. And the fact that since the days of Solomon, the kingdom has been divided, and there hasn't been banners of the tribes flying in Jerusalem. That's why wherever you see in the Bible where he talks about a banner, it's a messianic phrase. It's a Jewish idiom, meaning that the Messiah is close behind. The root of Jesse stands as a banner of his people. Nations shall seek to him, and his resting place shall be glorious. And it shall be in that day, end time again, Yahweh shall again set his hand the second time. The second time. We just read the first time was for who? Was for Judah. So that David would get predominance among his brothers. But in the day we're living in, we saw one already, in this day he will set his hand the second time to recover the remnant of his people that remains. From Assyria, from Egypt, from Patros, from Ethiopia, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coasts of the sea, the far corners of the earth. And he will lift up a banner for the nations. And he shall gather the outcasts of Israel and gather those dispersed from Judah from the four winds of the earth. Judah and Israel are not the same people. They're not the same people. Judah are the Jews. Israel are the northern tribes. Two different people he's talking about. And the envy of Ephraim shall turn off, and Judah's foes shall be cut off. Ephraim will not envy Judah, and Judah shall not trouble Ephraim. And I'm telling you, I'm going to show you a short video at the end of my message today. And you're going to see a little video that we made ourselves of clips from me and my good friend, Sagi Vasulin, who's with the government. He's part of the Likud. And some of you people were there in Texas. Larry's a witness that this Jewish man that's part of the government of Israel stood at a podium right next to me, and he called us brothers. He read from his Bible, Ezekiel 37, of the two sticks coming together. He read it, not me. I came here 11 years ago, and I can tell you the stories of my wife getting kicked in the back and spit upon by Orthodox sometimes when we go in the streets. Today, you can go out here and you can talk to the average Jewish person, even religious Jews, and their minds are open. The envy between Ephraim and Judah is falling by the wayside. It's falling by the wayside. And I say right up front, I didn't come here to convert Jewish people. That's not what I'm here for. You convert electricity, you don't convert people. Yahweh opens the hearts and minds of men. I came here because I'm an Israelite and this is my land. That's why I'm here. Because it belongs to me as much as anybody else. And I'm not here because I want to be here. I'm here because Yahweh brought me here. And tomorrow he can bring me somewhere else. Because by his hand we're here, and by his hand we're not. It's that simple. But I tell them, I had many friends of mine, Orthodox, that said, Don, we can get you citizenship. Just convert to Judaism. I say, thank you very much, but you're Judah, you're my brother. I'll stand for you, I'll fight for you, I'll work for you, but I'm Ephraim. I'm your brother. And that's what we're working together. And I'm telling you, this vexation has already started to fall. Where we can work together as brothers for what? For the building up of Zion for our children. That's why I said to Zacchaeus, I want to see your children and my children playing in the streets of Jerusalem, just like the prophecy says, together, hand in hand, as brothers and sisters and cousins. We are living in this time. We're seeing the very, very beginning of it. If you have eyes to see. If you have eyes to see. I say, you know how many times, how many people think when Yeshua walked this earth, did you ever think, I wish I could have just been there one day when Yeshua walked this earth? Boy, the Sermon on the Mount, right? Just 5 minutes, let me sit at his feet and hear his words. And yet, after 3 years of teaching, three full years of teaching, when he was crucified and died, there were 120 followers. 120. And I always think about those people. There's thousands and thousands, right? The miracle of the fish and the loaves, 4,000 here, 7,000 here, or 5,000. Where did all those people go? I think about the man who showed up there and heard the words and went back, and his wife said, "What? How was it? How was it, Solomon?" "Oh, another one of those youths telling us about love. Okay, honey, I'm going out to the field. We need to get the barley in. Harvest is coming." How many thousands and thousands of people saw with their eyes, saw the miracles that he did with his hands, and went back fishing? They went back fishing. Many, many people. Thank Yahweh, every day of your life, you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Because it's not because we're smart, it's not because we know anything, it's because of his grace. He calls the weak of the world. You know? Thank you, Yahweh, you made me weak enough that you were able to call me. I don't want to be the smart ones. You know? I really don't. I said, when you look, the smartest religious minds in the world, the people with the PhDs, right, and all these little letters next to their name, I say the smartest religion minds in the world, they can't count to 10. None of them believe the Ten Commandments. They can't count to 10. So if the smartest minds in the world can't even count to 10, then I don't know if I want to be that smart. I can count to 10. You know, one time I was having a debate over here in Jerusalem with somebody who's a scholar for 44 years, and we were debating the 3 days and the three nights. And I believe what the Bible says. Yeshua was in the grave 3 days and three nights. He believes Friday crucifixion. So as we were debating and talking, I said, I'm going to make this very simple. Because you know something? You're too smart for me. I can't debate with you. And I called a little child that was about 8 years old. And I called the child over and I said, can you count for me Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night? How many nights is that, Johnny? Three? You know? 3 days and three nights. And I said, the child can get it. And boy, was he mad. He walked off the podium and walked away. But I say, it's not little letters next to our name that makes us smart. What makes us smart is obedience to the word when the Father opens up our mind. I'm telling you, we are living in such a fantastic time. We just have to grasp it. We got to grasp it, what the Father is doing in the times we're living in. Let's read some of these prophecies about our time. Let's read some of the prophecies about Ephraim and Judah, both coming back to the land. Let's go to Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30, verse 1 through 11. Jeremiah 30, 1 through 11, then I'll drop down to verse 16. It says, the word that came from Jeremiah, the word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, so speaks Yahweh Elohim of Israel, saying, write for yourself all the words that I have spoken in a book. For lo, the days will come, says Yahweh, that I will turn the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, says Yahweh, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave their fathers, and they shall possess it. Clearly in these prophecies you will see it's to Israel and Judah. They're not the same people. Judah is here, Israel is coming. And these are the words that Yahweh spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For so says Yahweh, we have heard a sound of trembling, of dread, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a male is giving birth. Why do I see every man with his hands in his loins, like a woman giving birth, and old faces are turned to paleness? Alas, for the day is great, for there is none like it, and it will be the time of Jacob's trouble. But he will be saved out of it. The day of Yahweh is wrath. No other time can this be. For it will be in that day, says Yahweh of hosts, I will break his yoke from your neck, and I will burst your bonds, and strangers will not enslave him. But they will serve Yahweh their Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up to them, clearly and time. And you, O my servant Jacob, do not fear, says Yahweh. Do not be terrified, O Israel, for lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of your captivity. And Jacob will return and have quiet, and be untroubled, and no one will make him afraid. For I am with you, says Yahweh, to save you. Though I make a full end among the nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a full end with you. But I will correct you justly, and I will not leave you unpunished. And don't forget those words, because we're going to talk about this a little later. Now, like I said, 6 million of our brothers' lives went through a Holocaust to get back in this land. You know, I always say, Ephraim, they're not going to fly first class. There's going to be a lot that we have to do if we want to come back here. Drop down to verse 16. Therefore, all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all your foes, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And those plundering you I will give up to plunder, and all preying on you I will give up to prey. And I will give health back to you, and I will heal you from your wounds, says Yahweh, because they called you outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one is seeking her. The Jewish people aren't the outcasts here. Who's the outcast? We are. Israel, we are the outcasts of Israel, like it says in Isaiah. It says, although Abraham is our father, you know, and you know us, Yahweh, Israel rejects us. We are the outcasts of Israel. So says Yahweh, behold, I will turn the captivity of Jacob's tents, and I will have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city will be built on her ruined heap, and the palace shall remain on its own divine place. And as we go around the next 2 weeks, you'll see many places here. 22,000 archaeological sites. You'll see the ruined heaps that come up, exactly like the prophecy says. And out of them shall come thanksgiving in the voice of those who are merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also honor them, and they shall not be small. One other verse, verse 24. The glow of Yahweh's anger will not turn back until he has executed, until he has established the purposes of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it. Do you understand it? Are you starting to get the picture? We are living in a time that we are going to see what we just saw behind us, but in a way that we never, ever imagined. Very, very clear. Let's go to one page over, Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, starting in verse 1. At that time, says Yahweh again, end time, at that time, I will be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. I will be the Elohim of all the families of Israel. All 12 tribes. So says Yahweh, Israel, the people, the survivors of the sword, have found grace in the wilderness. I will go to give rest to them. Yahweh has appeared to me from afar, saying, yes, I have loved you with everlasting love. On account of this, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I have built you, and you shall be built, O Virgin of Israel. You will again put on your tambourines and go forth in the dance and those making merry. You will yet plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. They're doing it. There's people that have land that are actually planting vineyards over there. And people are coming, believers, Ephraimites, and they're volunteering and they're picking them. This is going on today. Prophecy being fulfilled. The planter shall plant and they shall treat them as common. For there shall be a day when the watchman on Ephraim's hill shall call out, arise and let us go up to Zion, to Yahweh our Elohim. For so says Yahweh, sing with gladness for Jacob. And shout among the head of the nations, cry out, give praise, and say, O Yahweh, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the recesses of the earth, among them the blind, and the lame, and the pregnant one, and the travailing one together. A great company shall return here. They shall come with weeping, and I will lead them with prayers. I will cause them to walk by rivers of water in a right way. They will not stumble in it, for I am a father to Ephraim. I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. And I always say, I love our brother Judah. I'm here to serve them. We have many programs we do with them. But remember, Ephraim is the firstborn. Ephraim is the firstborn. You don't want to give up your birthright the way Esau did. Never forget that. Ephraim is the firstborn. It's time we have to mature, stand up in the position that Yahweh's given us, and fulfill the will that he has in our life. Hear the word of Yahweh, O nations, and declare in the coastlands far away, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd his flock. For Yahweh has redeemed Jacob, and redeemed him from the land of the one stronger than him. And they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and be radiant over the goodness of Yahweh, for grain, and for wine, and for oil, and for the sons of the flock and the herd. And their life shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not continue to languish anymore. Then the virgin shall rejoice in the dance, both young men and elders together, just like we do here at Sukkot. We do the Hebrew dancing. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will fill the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with goodness, says Yahweh. So says Yahweh, a voice was heard in Ramah, wailing, bitter wailing, Rachel weeping for her sons. She refuses to be comforted for her, and her sons are not there. Who was Rachel the mother of? Joseph? Joseph and Benjamin, right? Who was Joseph the father of? Ephraim and Manasseh. Why is Rachel weeping in this end time scripture? Because Judah is back in the land, and her sons are not here yet. But look what it says in verse 16. So says Yahweh, hold back your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there will be a reward for your work, says Yahweh, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope for you in the end time, says Yahweh, that your sons will come again to their own territory. Are you preparing for that day? What are you preparing for? Because I don't know when it's going to be. I don't think any person on this earth knows the day that Yahweh will bring you here for good. Could be in the kingdom, could be before. But are you preparing? Because you know something? They didn't know when that Exodus was coming. All of a sudden, one night, boom, the Passover comes, and the next day, they're getting out of there in haste. And I know one thing, like David was talking about, read the scriptures about Babylon's fall. It comes overnight. It's going to be quick. So when that day comes that you know, wow, Father's bringing us back to the land, you better be ready. Now's the time to prepare. Now's the time to prepare. Hearing, I have heard Ephraim moaning over himself, saying, You have chastised me, and I was chastised as a bull, not broken in. Turn me, and I will be turned, for you are Yahweh, my Elohim. Chapter 7, verse 21. Set up road marks for yourself. Make signposts for yourself. Set your heart toward the highway, even the way you went. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel. Turn again to these cities of yours. You know, we know people that have been inspired by Yahweh to actually, for years, find the exact routes that Israel went from here in 721, 718 BC into captivity, and actually mark those routes according to the scripture. They prayed at every gate of every nation and marking the way. Do you know we know people that have ships everywhere from Europe to America that are waiting for this time to bring people on these ships and bring them back here when the Father opens the door? There is a lot going on the underground for a lot of this stuff. It's not just a word in the book. It's a reality. And there's many, many thousands of people that believe this reality and are living for it. You know, when you see that we're that close for the kingdom, why live for Babylon? What does Babylon have to offer when we have the kingdom of Yahweh right there at the gate? Verse 27, Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, even I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of Adam. It's coming. It's coming. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, verse 15. And the word of Yahweh was to me, and saying, And you, son of man, take one stick for yourself and write on it for Judah, and for his companions, the sons of Israel. And those are the Israelites that migrated into Judah before the captivity, and that were there. And take another stick and write in it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions. Northern tribe to the north, Jewish tribe to the south. And draw them one-to-one to yourself into one ikad stick, and make them become one in your hand. And when the sons of your people shall speak to you, saying, Will you not declare to us what these mean? So you shall say to them, says Adonai Yahweh, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with him with the stick of Judah, and I will make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. And the stick shall be in your hand, and the ones on which you write before their eyes, and say to them, So says Adonai Yahweh, Behold, I will make the sons of Israel from among the nations. I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations there where they have gone, and I will gather them from all around and will bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be a king to all of them. And they shall not be two nations anymore, and they will not be split into two kingdoms anymore. And they will not still be defiled with their idols, even their filthy idols, nor with all their transgressions. But I will save them out of their dwelling places from where they have sinned in them, and I will cleanse them. So they shall be a people to me, and I will be Elohim to them. And my servant David shall be king over them, and there shall be one shepherd to all of them. And they shall walk in my judgments, and keep my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell on the land that I have given to my servant to Jacob, there where your fathers dwelt in it. And they shall dwell on it, and their sons' sons forever. And my servant David shall be a ruler to them forever. And I will cut a covenant of peace with them, an everlasting covenant it shall be with them. And I will place them and multiply them. And I will put Aleph-Tah, my sanctuary, in their midst forever. And my tabernacle shall be with them, and I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people. And when my sanctuary will be in your midst forever, the nation shall know that I, Yahweh, do sanctify Israel. Wow. Is there a regathering? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I could sit here, we could go until 2 in the morning just going over these type of scriptures, but we won't. But I will go over one more. Ezekiel 36, this one page before. Ezekiel 36, 6 through 10. Ezekiel 36, 6 through 10. So prophesy concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains and to the hills, to the ravines and to the valleys. So says Adonai Yahweh, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the nations. So Adonai Yahweh says this, I have lifted up my hand, surely the nations that surround you, they shall bear their shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall put out your branches and your fruit. You shall bear for my people Israel, for they are drawing near to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you. And you shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men on you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and all the cities shall be inhabited, and the way shall be built. You know, when Mark Twain came here in the late 1800s, this place was a desert wilderness. He couldn't believe that this was even the promised land, if you read some of the things he said about Israel. Number one place in the earth for malaria, it was just unbelievable. And here it is, in 100 years, what the Father has done to change this land. Green, land flowing with milk and honey, biggest producer in the world of flowers and organic food and all the other things. And yet the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Let's drop down to verse 17. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt on their land, they even defiled it by their ways and their doings, as the defilement of woman's impurity, their way was before me. So I poured out my fury on them because of the blood that they had poured out on the land, or their idols by which they defiled it. And I scattered them among the nations, and they were sown among the earth. And I judged them by their way and their doings. And when they entered into the nations, there where they went, they even profaned my holy name by saying to them, these are the people of Yahweh, and they are gone out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations, there where they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, so says Adonai Yahweh, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel. But only for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations there where you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the nations, which you profaned among them. There where you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which you profaned among the nations where you went. And the nations shall know that I am Yahweh, declares Adonai Yahweh, when I have sanctified in you in their eyes. For I will take you from the nations and gather you out of all the lands and bring you into your land. Then I will sprinkle pure water on you. Kind of sound like baptism, right? And I will cleanse you from all your defilement and all your idols. And I will also give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Sounds like the new covenant, right? And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give to you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be a people to me, and I will be Elohim to you. And I will also save you from all your defilements, and I will call for grain and increase it, and I will put no famine on you. And I will multiply the fruit of the trees and the produce of the field, in order that you may not anymore receive the disgrace of famine among the nations. And you will remember your evil ways and your doings, which were not good, and you will despise yourself in your own eyes for your iniquities and for your abominations. Let it be known to you that I am not doing this for your sake, saith Adonai Yahweh. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. So again, do we take joy in the fact that the Father is doing this? Absolutely. Absolutely. But do we take proudness as if we're doing something good? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Let's go to Romans 9, because there's a couple of scriptures that talk about if we want to be part of this wonderful, wonderful thing that our Heavenly Father is going to do in the end time. Romans 9, verse 22. But if Yahweh, desiring to demonstrate his wrath and to put his power known, endured in much long-suffering vessels of wrath, having been fitted out for destruction, but he poured out his mercy on the vessels of favor, which he before prepared for the glory of Elohim, whom he also called not of us of Jews only, but also of the nations. As also he says in Hosea, I will call those not my people, my people, and those not beloved, beloved. Who is the book of Hosea written to? Ephraim. Read the book. It's only, 10, 12 chapters, whatever it is. It's all to the house of Ephraim. And it shall be in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they will be called sons of the living Elohim. How amazing that in the last 10, 15 years, that the Heavenly Father has been calling people out of Christianity all over the world from their pagan ways. And many people, I've met thousands around the world in my travel, and I asked them, how did you come to this truth? Holy Spirit. I was just reading and it convicted me. Get rid of that Christmas tree, Get rid of this paganism. Saturday is the Sabbath. Unbelievable stories you hear of it happening. Another sign that you know we're close to the end. But Isaiah cries on behalf of Israel, if the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. Oh, now it's getting a little scary. How many Ephraimites, how many Israelites are out in the world today, worldwide? At least a billion. Maybe more. But he says, although the numbers are the sand of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. For he is bringing the matter to an end and having been cut short in righteousness, because Yahweh will do a thing cut short on the earth. And as Isaiah has said before, if Yahweh opposed had not shown favor to us with the remnant, we would have been like Sodom, and we would have been like Gomorrah. So in the hype, in the happiness of the end time remnant coming about and the return to the land, we have to sober it with these scriptures. It'll be like the days of Sodom. It'll be like the days of Noah. Out of all the earth in the days of Noah, how many people were saved? Eight. Sodom and Gomorrah, how many people were saved? Three, right? So this isn't something where we're all putting on our rah-rah hats and coming with our flags and you've got to get rid of that Western mindset, I'm telling you. You've got to get rid of that Western mindset. This is going to be a struggle from today until the day our Messiah returns. In Hebrews 12:14, without holiness, no one will see Yahweh. America is not a holy country. The culture that we have brought to the world is not a holy culture. And I'll talk about that in other messages, but I'm telling you, we really have to think about getting the trash out of our lives. We have to think about not being like the world that's going to perish in this thing in the end time, like he's saying. We need to come out of here. And the first thing you've got to do is have belief, though. I say that. Logically, think to yourself. If somebody were to come up to you today and tell you that they had a job prepared for you, this great, amazing job, they want you to stay here in Israel and they want you to be an ambassador down here at the Knesset. And they'll pay you $1 million a year. And you'll go and you'll be able to represent Israel and do these things. What would you say? What would you say? Would it be worth it? Would you make excuses? Would you make plans? And yet here it is. Either you believe, if we're really this close to the end, then why are we making all these other plans for all this worldly stuff? If we really believe it, then we better act on it. That's what faith is. That's all faith simply is, just acting on your belief that it's real. If not, all it is philosophy. You know, that we're going to talk about it. You know, read the book of James. Faith is clearly the works is the evidence of your faith. You have to put it into action. Isaiah 7:9, I'll just read it. It's one verse. You don't have to go there. It says, the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Ramallah's son. If you do not believe, surely you will not be established. You know, why did Abraham get blessed by Yahweh for this great, wonderful thing that's going on in the world today? Simply because he believed. Simply because he believed. And that's, you know, Hebrews 11:6, you know. You have to believe that Yahweh is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. His word clearly says it. So if we're putting 40 hours a week into something worldly that's going to disappear, and we're putting 20 minutes a week into the work of Yahweh, then there's only two things. Either we don't believe, or we're pretty stupid. You know? It's one or the other. There's no in between. You can't put 90% of your time into something that's perishing, and 10% into your time into something that's eternal, and believe. Like I said, you either don't believe or we're pretty stupid. It's one or the other. So if we want to be part of this, we have to get our act together. We have to get our act together. Like we saw in the movie, there's a great organization that takes to take 2.8 million people, you know, from one spot to another. But in the end time, this regathering, this is starting in the hearts and minds of men first, before it starts in the feet. And that's where we got to get to. We have to get our hearts and minds prepared. And then when the feet comes, they'll go on their own. We don't even have to worry about that end of it. Ezekiel 2. I want to read a scripture. Ezekiel 2. To the house of Israel in the end time. Remember, Ezekiel was there at the Babylonian captivity, right? That's the time he's writing. He's a contemporary of Daniel. Yet, the house of Israel was already in captivity for, oh, let's see, 575, 621, at least 40, 50 years. So when he's writing this, he's not writing it to the house of Israel at that time. They were gone. They weren't there. He's writing it to the house of Israel in the end time. And you'll see that as we get over here. Ezekiel 2 and verse 1. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. And the Spirit entered into me as he spoke to me, and he made me stand on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to the nations, to the rebelling ones who have rebelled against me. This is an end time prophecy to all of us sons of Israel in the nations. It's a prophecy telling us what we need to do before we come back here. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this day. And the sons are stiff of face and hard of heart. I am sending you to them. And you shall say to them, so says Adonai Yahweh. And they, whether they hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Yea, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them and their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are with you. And though you are living among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, and do not be frightened by their faces, though they are a house of rebellion. And they shall speak my words to them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. They are a rebellious house. But you, son of man, hear what I am saying to you. Do not be like the rebellious house of rebellion. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving to you. And I looked, and behold, the hand was extended to me. Behold, a roll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me, and it was written on the face and the back, and written on it were weepings and mourning and woe. Remember the three woes of Revelation. You know, and face it, I'm telling you, the biggest thing you can do in your life to get you mentally focused for what's coming is to realize how bad it is. We've been conditioned through the world to think it's not so bad out there. But I'm telling you, it is bad. If Yahweh says it's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah put together, it's got to be pretty bad, because no one survived those days. And that's what he's saying. Even though the house of Israel as a whole, they're Laodiceans, they're stiff-necked, they're going their own way, it doesn't have to be you. Because the sins of the fathers don't go to the children, the sins of the children don't go to the fathers. He will look at each one of us individually, on our hearts, on our actions, on our works, and we will be judged according to it. So that's the message here. You don't have to go with the crowd. You don't have to go along with them. But believe me what I'm saying, as his word is true, it's coming. It's coming. Ezekiel 20, he talks about when he starts to take the remnant out from Babylon and out from these lands, and when he brings them into the wilderness, and look what he says. Ezekiel 20 and verse 33. As I live, says Adonai Yahweh, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury pulled out, I will reign over you. Boy, I wish he didn't have to say it that way. I would think, you know, we're going to be happy and just bow down, you know. I wish he didn't have to say it that way, but he did. And I will bring you out from the people and gather you from the lands in which you are scattered among them, and with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with fury pulled out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and I will be judging with you there face to face. Just as I was judging your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will be judging you, declares Adonai Yahweh. And I will cause you to pass under the rod. It's a Jewish idiom. You know, every night when the sheep would come in, they'd pass under the rod and they would count them. Meaningly, he knows his sheep, like Yeshua says. He knows every hair in our head. He's not going to let us falter. He knows who we are. And we'll pass under the rod. He's going to count every one of us. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. When I tell people, brand new people that are just coming out of Christianity, I say the first thing you've got to do is if you want a relationship, you've got to forget religion. They don't go together. Yahweh has nothing to do with religion. Religion is man-made to control people. And it doesn't matter, not just Christianity. Judaism, Islam, all of them are the same. Religion are man-made entities to control people. Yahweh is covenant. Covenant relationship. And that's the way we have to think about it. He says he will bring us into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge from among you the rebels and the transgressors against me. And I will bring them out of the land where they reside. And they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Yahweh. We didn't watch the part where Dathan and these guys row up against Moses and get sucked into the ground. I've been there.